going to jump right into it. For today's time, this is really annoying. For today's time, we're going to entitle it Proclamation of Victory. Okay. All right. Proclamation of Victory. 1 Peter 3, specifically 19 through 20, is a landmine. There's a couple of those in the Bible. It's a landmine passage, meaning if you're gonna go through it, you gotta go through it very, very carefully, because there's a lot of room for error and just mistakes in terms of going through it, especially on a Sunday morning setting like this. In any case, with that said, we want to look at three lessons: victorious in death, victory in life, and His victory in my life, or His victory in me, I think is what's in your bulletin. So this is one of those times where if you have a pen or highlighter or pencil or whatever, this is one of those messages where you're going to have to mark up your Bible a bit. But it's okay, because those are the pretty Bibles. The pretty Bibles are the ones that had notes and stuff scribbled all over the place. Okay? In any case, the first lesson, victory in death. Okay? At his death, okay, this is just wrote, interpretation or re-translation of the English Bible text here. This text is specifically just talking about at the death of Christ, Jesus went and proclaimed victory to the demonic spirits. Okay, that's like the simplest way of explaining what the passage actually says. Okay, I don't want to take too much time in this, but the most, I guess, simplest and the most popular misconception or misunderstanding of this passage is that Jesus, at his death, went and preached or freed or something like that to people who died under judgment in the days of Noah, and then he freed them. Okay, but that makes no sense. You can't prove that in any of the passages of the Bible at all. And so that doesn't fit, okay? So one of the, I guess, in seminary nerd talk, we call this principles of hermeneutics, okay? For you guys, all that just simply means is this. If the Bible says something, it will say it again somewhere else, okay? Meaning God will rarely ever in the Bible do or say something once and never do it again. Okay? I mean, there are rare occurrences of that, but that almost always never happens. Okay? And so for Peter to talk about that, how Jesus, when he died, went to, first of all, preach the gospel to people who died under judgment in the days of Noah, and then somehow they were freed by that doesn't make any sense. That doesn't go with any of the principles of salvation, principles of the gospel, or any of that stuff. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't fit. Okay? Mainly because the Bible says you die and then you go into judgment. Okay? And then the book of Hebrews talks about the people who in the Old Testament, guys like Noah, Moses, David, right? These guys died before Christ, and the Bible talks about how they died with the hope of Christ. They saw that there would be one that would come and free them from sin. And so they were saved through Christ even before Christ came. That's how the Bible explains it. Exactly how that works, I don't know. When Jesus comes back, we can ask him, okay? But until that day, that's all we have in the Bible, okay? And so that's a very, very important lesson to know when we're reading the Bible, okay? And so the most logical understanding or reading of this passage is that the spirits that Peter talks about in verse 19 are evil spirits. Okay, Peter is not the first one to use that word to refer to demonic spirits or demonic powers. Verse 22, he says angels and authorities and powers. Authorities and powers are those are phrases and vocabulary that the Apostle Paul uses, for example, in Colossians, to refer to demonic spirits or demonic powers. And so when Jesus goes and dies, okay, what he's doing is he's proclaiming victory over the demonic powers of the world. Okay, so you say, if you're like me, you're asking, that sounds great. What does that mean? Okay. The Sam King paraphrase translation of the Bible, which will never be published, but you'll get bits and pieces of it on Sunday mornings. It would say something like this. Jesus, when he died, went to the spirits, demonic spirits, who were very, very strong and very popular. We know this because if you go back to Genesis and you read Noah, the only reason why Noah is saved is because a lot of people think Noah is the only righteous one. The Bible actually doesn't say that. Noah is actually not righteous at all. God just saves him out of love, period. Okay? What is that? So Jesus goes, and the demonic, and why there are no righteous people around the days of Noah is because the powers or the people that are influenced by the powers of the devil have basically killed everyone else, and so that's why God pronounces worldwide judgment, because. Ever since Genesis 3, what you see is a constant battle between the children of the woman, God's chosen people, and then children of the serpent. Okay? And so there's a constant battle that rages from Genesis 3 and on. And what you see is when Noah comes out, that story, the narrative, the powers of the children of the serpent had overcome the children of the woman so much that there are none left. Period. Okay? And so, those spirits who are influencing the people of the world at that time, those are the ones that Peter is talking about. And so when Jesus dies, he goes to the people, he goes to those spirits, and he says, you are now powerless to damn people. You're now powerless to damn my people. You no longer have that power. Okay, that's what it means when Peter says Jesus went and proclaimed victory over spirits, over the demonic powers. In Colossians chapter 2, Paul says it, same idea. Paul says it like this. When you were dead in your transgressions and uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with Christ, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, he has taken it away, having it nailed to the cross. Okay, in verse 15, when Christ had disarmed the rulers and authorities, right? Rulers and authorities, the same phrase that Peter uses, Christ made a public display of them, having triumphed over them, through him. Okay? This is all Trinitarian action going on. Okay? It's basically the victory of God, the triune God, over the powers of sin and death in his people. Okay? And so what we have is at the cross, we have a Christ who is crucified, and yet at the moment of his most, what we see as a moment of defeat and weakness, God was in fact, at that moment, it was his moment of final victory over sin and death. And again, Passion, the movie Passion, for all of its mistakes and, you know, artistic revisions or whatever, it does capture that one moment very well, that when Jesus died, okay, when Jesus died, we see that scene where Satan is in hell and Satan is screaming because that's the end. Final move. Game over. Okay? And so that's what we say. Jesus was victorious in death. The second lesson we see, victory in life. Verse 22 highlights that at Christ's resurrection and ascension, everything, angels, demons, life, and death, were all made subject to him. Meaning they all answered to him. Okay? Meaning angels and demons, okay, they can't do anything without his authority, without his approval. Okay? And so they all absolutely depend on him, and they have to obey him. Okay? They have to obey him. And that's his victory in life. This is important because I used to think whenever I went, ran across that lesson of Jesus and his life, when it talks about, oh, Jesus did this in life, or Jesus is victorious in life, Jesus is powerful in life, I always, for some reason, always just limited that to the 33 years that he lived on planet Earth. No, when the Bible says Jesus and talks about Jesus and his attributes or his powers in life, it also is encompassing or is also including his life after death, his resurrected life. And so that's very crucial. And so in victory in life, in Christ, we see that he has absolute dominion or exercises absolute kingship and authority in his resurrected life. And so when we say that we have a living hope, a resurrected hope, that's who or what our hope is dependent on. Okay? And then the third lesson we see, his victory in my life, or his victory in me. Okay? This is kind of the conclusion, like, okay, so what? The best way I could describe it is kind of that song, In Christ Alone. This is one line where it says this, from life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. Okay, that's that idea, right? That I think the lesson for us today in terms of Jesus is victorious in his life and his death means from our first breath to our very last, Jesus is victorious. Okay, what does that mean? It means this. It doesn't mean that Jesus, the power of Christ is only at the beginning and only at the end. No, it means that from a biblical, I guess, a 2,000-year-old Jewish mindset, these things are not bookends. These things are from A to Z. It's not just A and Z. It's A to Z. Okay. I think in the Western world, we kind of have that mindset. It's just A and Z. Okay. But in the Jewish mindset, if it's Alpha and Omega, right? In Revelations, Jesus says, "I am the Alpha and Omega." What does that mean? He's beginning and end. What that means is he's saying everything from your beginning of life to your final breath, all of those, every minute, every second, every hour, every day, every week, all of that is mine. All of that is, it's not ours. It's in Christ. And what that means is that our lives then, now we live in victory. Okay? What that means is our lives are in the hands of a victorious Christ, not a defeated, weak Christ, but a victorious and strong, mighty Christ. And so whatever comes in our lives, sickness, health, brokenness, physical ailments, financial ailments, whatever may be, good, bad, ugly, in it all, we are still victorious. I steal the words of my professor, the esteemed Chad Van Dixhorn, He said this. He said, in life, we're victorious. In death, we remain undefeated. Okay. In life, we are victorious. In death, we remain undefeated. That means if our trust is in a victorious Christ, in His victory in life and death, that means there is nothing in this world, in this life, in circumstances, good or bad, that can ever defeat us. And so, my encouragement to you all this morning, this day, is to end by echoing that hopefully all of us can echo the Apostle Paul when he says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Let's pray.